Hello, everyone. It's great to have you here with us. My name is Campbell. Thank you for joining us for today's program. We have an interesting article for you today. Today we are going to be traveling to Nigeria, and Nigeria is a country in West Africa. And we're going to be visiting an interesting unconventional school. What do I mean? Well, we'll talk about that later, but first let me introduce my friends in the studio here. We have a lot of people in the studio with us today. First, we have our usual guests, Carolyn and Josh. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Campbell.
All right, so we have this interesting article. Are you guys excited to talk about what we're going to be discussing today?
Very interested. I always like finding out new things about other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm very excited. This actually reminded me of a book series that I've read called The Number One Ladies Detective Agency.
Interesting.
It's not in Nigeria, it's in Botswana, but one of the main characters is a mechanic.
Okay.
And he teaches others how to be mechanics. So it was very reminiscent.
Okay, I can see why you are reminded of this story. Sounds very interesting. All right, and we have some special guests here from Seattle. Hi, ladies.
Hi. Hi, Campbell.
All right, could you guys introduce yourselves?
My name is Sophie.
Okay, and Sophie, you are in Seattle right now, mm-hmm. and you are a nursing student. Actually, you just graduated, right?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what are your plans for after graduation?
Well, we have to take the NCLEX, which is the National Boards for Nursing.
Okay.
And then we will be on the hunt for a job.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we have Michelle here.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Michelle. You are also a nursing, well, you were a nursing student. Now you're a graduate.
Yes, yes.
And what are your plans for after graduation?
I'm planning on working at a hospital near home in Seattle, in Bellevue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planning on working at a mother-baby floor, helping mothers and babies after they've been born.
Such an important job.
Yes.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, and we have Colleen here. Hello, Colleen. Welcome back.
Hello, Campbell. It's a pleasure to be back.
I cannot believe it's been a year.
Yes.
Time flies.
It does, actually. Yes, I'm so glad to be back here with all of you and at ORTV.
That's great. Well, it's great to have you guys here, and we'd love to hear what you guys have to share about today's story and today's program. All right, friends, well, we're going to be getting into our article for today. Our article today is on page 38, and we are going to be visiting a Nigerian mechanic's yard. All right, so I started the program saying that Nigeria is in West Africa, right? So it's a country in West Africa. Josh, do you know a lot about Nigeria?
I unfortunately don't know too much about Nigeria, even though my wife's best friend's husband is actually Nigerian, but living in the States.
Okay. Well, it is a country that is developing, and today we're going to be visiting a mechanic's yard. Now, when we are referring to a mechanic, what is a mechanic? I mean, you were talking about your book, right?
Yeah. So a mechanic is someone who works on and repairs vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a car, a truck. It could be even larger pieces of equipment.
Right.
You need a mechanic to repair moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and a mechanic's yard. Why is it called a yard?
Well, this is usually a large open area mm-hmm. where they may store vehicles that they are currently working on
right.
or vehicles that are waiting to work on or vehicles that are done and waiting for their owners to pick them up.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's interesting that we would be talking about this Nigerian mechanic's yard. You know, the fact that there's an actual article about this means that there's something special going on. So what exactly is special about this Nigerian mechanic's yard, and who is this Nigerian mechanic? Well, let's find out. So again, our article is on page 38. If you open up your magazine or join us on your mobile device, we'll start at the top of the page and just read down the first column.
A Nigerian mechanic's yard. Life lessons and hope for a new generation found in an unusual place. In a mechanic's yard in northern Nigeria, a skinny boy named Amir Yusuf flits about like a nervous bird. As four guys work on the front wheel of a black Mercedes, he's in the thick of it, looking on. When two others hunch over an engine, he's in there too. His boss, Musa Ibrahim, says that being a car mechanic is a man's job, but Amir looks barely 12. He scuttles to unlock a small tin shed, sealed by a small padlock, which houses tools, greasy engines, and car parts piled higgledy-piggledy. The lock won't budge, but he fights it silently until it opens. When Amir says he is 15, people scoff, but his boss understands. He, too, was once a slight kid who looked young for his age, working in the same auto yard in Nigeria's second biggest city, Kano. Even now, Ibrahim's long, slender fingers seem more suited to some delicate trade, like tailoring.
All right, so the deck of our article here says, life lessons and hope for a new generation found in an unusual place. Now, Colleen, when we talk about life lessons, what are we usually referring to?
I believe that these are lessons that we learn that we can, from different experiences that we have in our life, and they teach us things that we carry with us for our whole life.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, in school we learn our arithmetic, we learn math and writing and reading and science, and these are kind of academic lessons, right? And life lessons are more about things that help us get through life, right? And important lessons and things that we take with us and teach us about success and what it means to be a human and being a good person, right? Mm-hmm. And it talks also about hope for a new generation, and it's found in an unusual place, right? You wouldn't usually think of finding these things in a mechanic's yard, right?
Not usually, right? Mm-hmm. You would think like maybe in a school or a hospital or a church, but not necessarily someplace where you just go to fix vehicles.
Right. I mean, you would think you could learn some skills about fixing cars, but not necessarily about life, right? Okay, so our article starts off talking about a mechanic's yard in northern Nigeria, and who do we meet there?
Amir Yusuf.
And tell me more about Amir Yusuf.
Well, based on this description, it sounds like he's a very small kid who's just trying to get through this job and do what he can. And it sounds like he's motivated to do this kind of job the rest of his life, which is why he's so involved and wants to see everything that's going on here.
That's right, yeah. So we have an interesting description here. It says that Amir Yusuf flits about like a nervous bird. Now that's an interesting description. What does it mean here, Michelle, when we talk about someone flitting about?
So flit, we can say, means to fly or move quickly and lightly over something.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys ever have to flit about in the hospital?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, when the alarms are beeping and, you know, different patients need different things, you guys have to flit about quite often, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you think about like a hummingbird, right, you know, that a hummingbird often flits about, you know, they're here and there and they're just kind of traveling really fast back and forth, right? So we see a picture of Amir Yusuf and he's flitting about, so he's going all over the place, you know. And we see that there are four guys and they're working on the front wheel of a black Mercedes and he's in the thick of it. What does that mean?
Well, if you're in the thick of it, it means that you're heavily involved or you're observing very carefully what is happening.
Right, yeah. And so we see a picture at the bottom of page 38 of Amir, and you see the guys there, four guys working on the wheel, and he's in the thick of it. He's right in there, and he's looking and trying to see what's going on, and he wants to get involved. So he is participating in this fixing of the car. And when two others hunch over the engine, he's in there too. So, as Michelle was saying, he's really into this fixing cars thing, right? He really wants to see what's going on. So, next we meet his boss. And what is the name of his boss?
Musa Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Musa Ibrahim. And what does Musa Ibrahim say, Josh?
Well, he says that being a car mechanic is a man's job.
Mm-hmm. So a man's job, but does Amir look like a man?
No, he looks so young. He looks like he's 12.
Right, barely 12. Not even 12. Mm-hmm. And we do see a picture of him, and he does look quite young in that picture, right? Michelle, looking at the picture, what would you say, how old do you think he would be if you just met him?
I would say somewhere around 10 or 12, maybe.
Yeah. Sophie, what about you?
He looks very young and also very skinny, so I might even say 8.
Right. So it's a pretty apt description here, right? Barely 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he scuttles to unlock a small tin shed. Now, we used the word flit earlier. Now we're using the word scuttle. And what does scuttle mean?
Scuttle means to move quickly with small, short steps, especially in order to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of scuttle, I think of a penguin.
Uh-huh.
And how they tend to walk across that ice carefully.
Right. Yeah, so it's just both the idea of kind of just moving about quickly, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of very busy, and he's rushing here and there. And what is he scuttling about doing, Colleen?
He's trying to unlock a small shed,
mm-hmm.
a tin shed,
mm-hmm.
That's been sealed with a padlock. So he's wanting to get that open very quickly.
Right, yeah.
Because,
and what's inside the shed?
Well, there's tools that he's
mm-hmm.
going to need or that the other young men are going to need. There's engines, greasy engines, and car parts. And they are piled Higgledy-piggledy.
Higgledy-piggledy. I've never actually heard this phrase before.
I love this phrase.
Higgledy-piggledy. What does that mean, higgledy-piggledy?
Higgledy-piggledy just means that things are kind of jumbled together. They're not organized at
mm-hmm.
all. Maybe they're just thrown in a corner.
Right.
There's just no organization whatsoever.
Right, yeah. It's an interesting, I mean, it's a fun phrase to say, right? Higgledy-piggledy. I've never actually seen this before, but I mean, it's a good description, right? So, I mean, if you think of a junkyard or a mechanic's yard, usually things are just piled up and there's no order to it, right? It's not very organized. Well, was he able to open the door right away?
Well, not right away because the lock wouldn't budge,
mm-hmm.
which means it wouldn't move no matter how much he pushed on it.
Right. So he was having trouble unlocking that padlock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he fights it silently until it opens. All right. So we said that Amir looks barely 12, but how old does he say he is, Michelle?
He says he's 15.
Uh-huh. So he says he's 15, but do people believe him?
No.
What do people do?
They scoff.
Mm. What does that mean?
To scoff, I would think they don't take him seriously. It's like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. You're not 15.
Yeah, so there's kind of this idea of just, yeah, they laugh, right, about the idea of him being 15.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you look at the picture of him again, that makes sense, right? Because he doesn't look like he's 15. Come on, right?
Right.
So he's, you know, people are like, don't pull my leg. Tell me,
right.
Really, how old are you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of idea. But his boss, again, Musa Ibrahim, his boss, understands. And why does he understand, Colleen?
He understands because he was once a slight kid, too. So
mm-hmm.
he was once that age.
Right.
And he looked very young for his age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does this word slight mean?
Slight means small.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's very slight, then he's probably slender,
right.
Skinny,
mm-hmm.
Maybe underweight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he, when he was younger, right, Musa Ibrahim, when he was younger, he was in a similar position as Amir, right? He was skinny and he looked young for his age and people didn't, you know, take him seriously. And he was also working in the same auto yard in Nigeria's second biggest city, Kano, right? And even now, right, Ibrahim doesn't really look like a mechanic, does he?
No, not at all. It seems like not only is he skinny, but his fingers would be more suited to delicate work because they're so slender.
Right. You know, usually when I see someone with slender hands, I think, you know, they should be a pianist, right? Or something more delicate.
Sure.
They can do more, you know, intricate work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a mechanic is kind of rough, right? And more suited for people with bigger hands, right?
And, you know, because they use them all the time, builds up the muscles and they get thick and they injure them. So they're not delicate usually.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it seems like Musa and Amir are, you know, unlikely candidates to be mechanics, but they work in this mechanics yard. All right, well, let's find out more about this mechanics yard and why it's so special. Let's finish up our article in the second column.
Providing hope for the future. His business doesn't look like much. It has no name, so there's no sign. And pipes, springs, wires, axles, and other pieces of unidentifiable car junk fill one side of his yard. But Ibrahim employs 10 people, supports his large extended family of parents, siblings, cousins, nieces, and nephews, and is engaged to be married. Amir's father, an electrician, had worried that his oldest son would end up unemployed, in a street gang, or taking drugs and stealing. So he begged Ibrahim to take him on as an apprentice, afternoons after school. "I like school, but I adore this job," Amir said. Two of his 8 siblings died in infancy. He has to run errands, jack up cars, change the wheels, and change the engine oil. I have been here 2 months, but my enthusiasm increases by the day.
So is Musa Ibrahim's mechanic yard flashy?
No, not even.
Right. So what is the description we have here, Sophie?
The description is no name, no sign, and lots of pipes, springs, wires, axles, and other pieces of junk on one side of the yard, which may not be appealing to the average person walking down the road.
Right. So, you know, you're passing the yard, you're not going to, "Hey, that's beautiful, I'm going to stop and take a look," right? It just looks like a pile of junk, right? And his business doesn't look like much. It doesn't even have a name, right? Usually there's a flashy sign or some sort of big billboard out front saying this is the name of the business, right? There's nothing, right? And everything is piled up. What is the word? Higgledy-piggledy, right? So pipes, springs, wires, axles, and other pieces of unidentifiable car junk. But it's, even though it doesn't look like much, it's actually a very successful business, right? So how many people does he employ?
He employs 10 people.
Well, and not only that, he supports his large family, right?
Right.
Including?
His parents, siblings, cousins, nieces and nephews, and then also his future wife.
Right. So that's a lot of people to be supporting. Mm-hmm. So his business must be doing well. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, you know, he has Amir, right? And how did Amir get involved with Ibrahim?
Well, Amir's father, who is a professional, is an electrician, had worried that his oldest son would end up unemployed. Mm-hmm. And in this particular area, it sounds like unemployed boys end up getting into some pretty bad stuff.
Right. And what are some of the bad things that they mention here, Sophie?
Being in a street gang, taking drugs and stealing, all of which can cause one youth to spiral out of control and never recover.
Exactly. And usually this is in like low income areas, you know, where people are unemployed. They don't have a lot of, you know, hope for the future.
Sure.
And so Amir's father was worried. And so he begged Ibrahim to take him on as an apprentice afternoons after school. What is an apprentice, Colleen?
Someone who is learning a trade.
Mm-hmm.
He comes, say, in this case, he was learning from Ibrahim.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So he was learning the trade. He would come there and observe and watch and do
right
under the direction of Ibrahim.
Right. So when I think of an apprentice, usually I think back to like the medieval ages, you know, when people learned trades. They learned how to be a tailor. They learned how to be a blacksmith, right? They learned how to be different things, you know, a carpenter. And basically there's a master, and then they would train the apprentice, which is kind of like a student. And they would teach them the skill about of how to do these things. And so now this is kind of carried on into the modern day, and we have mechanics. So mechanics is a very specific skill, and so Ibrahim is a mechanic, and now he's taking on Amir as an apprentice and training him and teaching him how to be a mechanic. And this is not what Amir does full time, right? He just goes afternoons after school, right? Now, how does Amir feel about school, though?
Well, he likes school.
Yeah.
But he adores his job.
So he's really enjoying it, right?
Yes.
And we see that in the energy he has flitting about and scuttling about getting things done and being in the thick of things, right? He's very interested in finding out how to fix things, and he wants to learn. He's very eager, right? And what are some of the jobs that he has here, Michelle?
Well, he has to run errands for the yard, for the mechanic, change the wheels and change the engine oil and jack up cars.
Now, that's an interesting phrase, jack up cars. What does that mean, Josh?
Well, in English, there's a device that's called a jack, and that's what you use in order to lift something heavy like a car. So if you're using a jack in order to lift a car off the ground, you are jacking up the car.
Right. And, you know, if you've ever had to change a wheel or a tire, you've probably needed to use a jack. And that's definitely one of the tools that a mechanic would use to raise the car so you can kind of get under the car and fix it. You know, it can be dangerous if the jack comes loose and, you know, car falls down. But, you know, if it's done well, the jack is a very useful tool. So he has to jack up the car, he has to change the wheels and change the engine oil. And how long has he been working at this mechanic's yard?
2 months.
2 months. But his enthusiasm increases by the day. So more and more he's finding enjoyment in this job, right? And I think this is inspiring, and this is kind of why we're talking about this article, right? So we have this boy, and he probably grew up in this low-income, kind of a poor kind of background, and Musa Ibrahim is kind of giving him hope for the future. He's training him, right? And, you know, what's interesting is this Musa Ibrahim has an interesting story himself about how he got to this point and how he became, you know, the owner of this yard. He wasn't always, you know, the mechanic. And we'll talk more about this, you know, tomorrow, and we'll find out more about Musa Ibrahim.
I think it's interesting that, so Amir's father, who is an electrician, so this is another skilled trade, really wanted his son to have the, you know, possibility of having a good job, and really identified, you know, going to work with his friend, the mechanic, as something that would be like a good experience for him in the future. And I think as a parent, he's probably, you know, you have a choice of either trying to get your child interested in the work that you're doing or really finding a good outlet for them. And it seems like he made a pretty good choice.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we have a little sidebar there in the top of page 39. Michelle, could you read that for us, preparing for the future?
It says, Amir attends school in the morning and works at the auto yard in the afternoon. At night, he does his homework, often by the dim light of the family's charcoal brazier. Honestly, I'm not under pressure, he said. I think I'm just lucky because I am preparing for my future. Not every kid has an opportunity like this. I pity them because I know what I am gaining here.
Yeah, so it seems like this mechanic's yard, although an unlikely place for it, is really giving Amir some hope, right? And it's giving him a sense that, hey, I have a future. I know where I'm going. And that's always something inspiring, you know. And we hope that this article can inspire all of you as well, that, you know, if you have something to offer to people, if you have a way to help people and to kind of give them a hope for the future, we hope that you would do that too. And that's one of our desires here, why we teach English, why we have our window on the world, is because we want to expand your views. We want to help you guys to understand that the world is a big place, and you guys, there's a lot of things you can do.
Yeah, and I like that this section, this little sidebar, is preparing for the future. Because Amir, while he's 15 and looks barely 12, he seems very mature mm-hmm. in his thinking. Yep. He recognizes the value in learning a trade. And I hope that our listeners recognize the value that they have in learning English mm-hmm. and preparing themselves for their own futures. Because there's always more ahead.
Definitely.
And I really liked this sidebar, too, because I found it personally very inspiring, because I can remember what I was like when I was 15, and I got very interested in things, but I don't know if I could go to school, go to work, then do homework, and then late at night, basically by a small little fire, you know?
Right.
So this is a kid who really, like, throws himself into a lot of things.
Yeah, and the fact that he values and he appreciates the opportunity that he's been given. He doesn't just take it for granted.
Exactly.
All right, friends, well, you know, tomorrow we'll be talking more about how Ibrahim and more about Musa Ibrahim and his story and how he became a mechanic and why he is now kind of paying it forward and helping Amir. And he's got a very interesting story as well. So we hope that you'll join us tomorrow for day two of this article, and we'll see you then. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.